This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars postgame starts now. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli in the Jaguars broadcast booth. Jeff Loggeman will join us with the first word from head coach Gus Bradley from the Jaguars locker room momentarily. And, of course, you've got a crew back there led by J.P. Shadrick along with Marco Coleman and Jay Gray, who will take you through the next 2 hours also. Story of the ball game, Blaine Gabbert. With wicked hot. I mean, 14 of 17, 165 yards, a touchdown, passer rating. What was it? 126,
I believe.
126. But on his final attempt of the evening, the thumb issue with the Muhammad Wilkerson's helmet. And so what we know about it right now is that it's iced up.
Well, we came in today's game after the first preseason game. Let's go back. We came into camp. This was a quarterback competition. Gus Bradley says we're going to find out who performs the best. We'll make a decision who our guy is. We all felt like it was Blaine's job to lose. Rough first outing, you know, with a lot of circumstances going on. Not all his players, you know, first preseason game. So we were looking forward to tonight to judge Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
We said Thursday night on our show that it was a critical game. And Blaine came out, and as you said, wicked hot.
Well, we're in the Northeast, so I figured I'd pull that one out.
Wicked's a good adjective. He played extremely well.
When I say that he played mint, you'll know that we're really in Boston,
okay,
in New York, in the Northeast.
From the start of the game, first play of the game, A. Sanders down the seam, perfectly thrown ball. And from that point on, Blaine Gabbert made the right reads, got them the right plays. We saw Maurice Jones-Drew, but it was about Blaine Gabbert. And we sat up here and felt good. And you said, okay, this is clearly, Blaine is taking the next step. He is grabbing this job. The last play he is in, he drops back. They blitz, some pressure, tries to get rid of it, and hits Muhammad Wilkerson's hand. And it looks like he bends his thumb back. And from that point on, all the good feelings we had, they don't go away, but they become secondary. The question is, how bad is the thumb? We'll hear here soon from Jeff Loggeman as he gets with Gus Bradley. But that is the biggest question leaving this game.
He was so sharp early on. And you know what? One play in particular where Justin Blackmon had single coverage and they backed off of him on a third and short. And we didn't get to see a whole lot of Blackmon and Blaine working together well last year because Blackmon emerged in that game in Houston in which Blaine got hurt. So the rest of the season, as Blackmon was rising, you know, Gabbert was not on the field. But here, you know, you just looked at him, you nodded, you know, last two first-round picks, 2011 and 2012, working, and Gabbert found Blackmon, made a big play, thought, all right, they got a little something rolling here.
Well, the great play about that individual play was Blaine recognized blitz to his left, saw the single coverage of off man to his right with Justin by himself, immediately gets in the right play, knows where to go with the ball, delivers a strike. Justin does everything after that. And again, so you get not only the sense of the accuracy, he looked great in the pocket, great protection by the offensive line. I don't want to forget those guys, but it was his control of the game, of maneuvering, getting us in the right play, and doing all those things, but then the injury. And so if you look at the play, you say, listen, you got to believe going into week three, if there was no injury, this is Blaine's job. And I wouldn't have been surprised if Gus Bradley would have come out at some point during the week and said, hey, this is our guy, or at least after the game, the third preseason game. But now you don't know, Brian, because on the throwing hand of a quarterback, that thumb, whether it's sprained, broken,
right,
or whatever, it's going to be difficult.
I made the note the quarterback competition is over because I thought Blaine Gabbert had won it. Now, obviously, it could be over because his thumb is injured and he can't play, and the job goes to Chad Henne by default. Now, that would mean that the quarterback controversy would reemerge at some point, but as of tonight,
I disagree. I don't think it reemerges because, we're speculating and we want to be careful doing that.
We don't
that.
Know.
But if there is something where this thumb injury causes him to miss whatever time, I still think from what we saw tonight, and not just tonight, but the entire preseason camp, that this is Blaine Gabbert's job. And so even if Chad has to come in, and he's a great backup, and he has to come in and be the starter, which he'll do a good job. He is a pro. That when Blaine's healthy, I would imagine you put him back in as a starter.
Well, you know, it was good to see tonight that they were able to move the ball with Justin Blackmon and Maurice Jones-Drew. There were two players not on the field. Mercedes Lewis was warming up. a little tightness in his calf, decided they weren't going to play him tonight. And, of course, Cecil Shorts has not played yet. Let's go check in with Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. And everyone wants to know the status of Blaine Gabbert, Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, second preseason game on the road. Certainly in the first half, some good things.
Sure was. A lot of good things to build on. I think we'll even see more when we watch the tape. But the way our offense came out and the tempo that we want to start the game with, you start to see it. It's going to be a process, but you're starting to see it come together.
Biggest question of the night, Blaine Gabbert. Had a throw, looks like the thumb ended up hitting a defender. Saw x-rays being looked at on the sideline. What's the report on that?
Right. The x-rays we got back were negative, so that's a good thing. So
some positives in the game. You got the return of three notable players. Maurice gets some action, got three carries, a reception in the ball game. Let's start with him. He looked impressive.
Yeah, he did. You know what? It was good. I think he had seven or eight plays, but just get him back in the, you know, in the scheme of things, the run, he caught a pass. And, you know, I think it was good just to get him those plays and get him back into it.
Justin Blackmon. Watching him this week in practice, I thought he had a great week of practice. Even though the offense struggled at times and it seemed to just kind of roll right over on the field tonight, he had three catches, looked real strong.
He's a competitor, and we knew that from the start, and he competed tonight. And, I mean, catch a hitch pass, turn into 12, 13 yards, you know, competed all the way through. So we're very pleased with the effort he gave.
And Cyprian. Cyprian got his name called a couple times when you don't want it called.
That's right, you know, but I guess what they say is better to say whoa than giddy up. And that's the case. We knew he was waiting to play for so long and to come back, but we'll tone him down a little bit and he'll play smarter. And, you know, overall as a team, I know we got to clean up some of these penalties.
And penalties were an issue last week, again this week, and then the turnovers again. You right. talked about trying to clean those two phases up, and at some point, you know, when it comes to when they start counting, that's got to right. be clean.
It is, you know, and you take a look at our first group and how they did, you know, and handling the ball. It's a few penalties there, but, you know, we got to get our second, especially our third group, to clean the game up.
Early in the game, the offense looked real efficient. You know, they struggled on Monday in the week of practice. Tuesday, kind of the same thing. Wednesday looked better, and all of a sudden Thursday, real efficient. Carried over into the game.
It did. You know what? And it's a credit to our players. They came out with the mindset to get it going. And Jed, really, in the offensive staff, came up with a good game plan. You know, we didn't put a lot of time into the Jets, but, you know, it was well executed.
Injuries, obviously, you've talked about Blaine. Mercedes Lewis went through pregame, and all of a sudden he doesn't play. Reports are a calf. How is he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I talked to him before the game, and we were just cautious with him. You know, played. Right out there, so we decided to hold him out.
All right. Any other injuries to report, Gus?
No. Nixon.
All right, obviously there's a little bit of friction, so we're going to grab it up. And, you know, there was a little popping there when Gus was answering the question about Blaine Gabbert, so let's review. The x-rays were negative.
Great news there.
They'll know more in the morning, but the early information, the early return there looks positive, and so that is good. Although it might mean that he doesn't play next week.
Well, let's focus first on the x-rays being negative, because as we sat in the booth and we watched, and we didn't say anything because we don't want to speculate, but you watch the doctor point to things on the x-ray, and all of us up here are holding our breath because we saw Blaine play well and we're so positive, and the last thing we wanted to have is some injury that would be serious enough to set him back. So great news from head coach Gus Bradley saying x-rays negative. They feel very positive, but they're going to wait to see how he wakes up and how the, obviously, some sort of sprain, how that feels in the morning.
All right, so there's the word from the Jaguars locker room. X-rays on Blaine Gabbert's injured thumb on his passing hand, negative. Early returns look positive. The Jaguars will know more in the morning. Our post-game show rolls along. Try and reconnect with Jeff in the Jaguars locker room. 37-13, Jets win tonight. But Blaine Gabbert looks sensational before leaving the ball game. We're back after this from MetLife Stadium on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to Jaguars post-game live from MetLife Stadium outside New York City. Final score doesn't matter. It's a preseason game, folks. 37-13 is the score. Jags led 13-10 after the first half, which is all that really matters for our conversation here. Maurice Jones-Drew was a big part of that opening drive, and he is with Jeff Loggeman right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. Maurice had three carries in the game for 9 yards, reception for 20 yards, and your first game action in quite some time since Oakland. How'd it feel?
Oh, it felt great. You know, our timing, we were working on our timing throughout the practices, throughout training camp, and to come out here and run the ball a little bit and see what we've done in practice, see it work. felt great. Still have a little couple things to work on in our running game, but for the most part, everything went smoothly.
How much different is this offense for you this year than compared to last year as far as the running style, and does it fit your style?
I grew up in the West Coast stretch system in college and in high school, so I'm very familiar with it. And the difference from last year, this year, last year's more downhill, pound the rock. This year's more stretch and cut. I think I feel well in both. This one deserves more space to run. And there was one run where we had a big gas. I should have got more, but they did a good job of falling back. So there's little things we have to work on to get our timing down, and once we get that going, we'll be fine.
On Monday and Tuesday, kind of a tough week for the offense, Monday and Tuesday, but you guys got better on Wednesday and Thursday. It really seemed to carry over in this ball game, particularly in the first half. The offense looked efficient.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be part of the deal, is to get comfortable with each other. I think today in the first two series, five or six guys got passes. And that's exciting to see, where they can't just key on one person. And once we get fully healthy, we'll be able to get the ball to different guys and let them make plays in space. And that's what this offense is about, is finding guys and giving them opportunity to make plays in space.
What's the next step for you in getting back and ready for the season opener against Kansas City?
Just continue on getting better every day. I think my cuts are there, my overall speed's there. It's just getting more comfortable, obviously getting tackled, live drills like that. And so next week will be a big test, going to playing more of a first half into the second half, or however we do it. Just more playing time would be that next step for me.
All right.
No problem.
All right, that's Maurice Jones-Drew. He's a guy we talked about all week long, getting back on the field, how much is enough. Tonight, Tony, from our perspective, it looked like just perfect exposure for him.
Well, I think so. Second preseason game. I mean, listen, we talked about it all week. A guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, he knows how to play the game. He's coming off an injury, 10 months away from playing live football. So it's good work. I still will argue that the biggest thing for Maurice was being in the huddle and the presence he brings. He's a leader. I mean, he's the best player, and he has been on offense for a while here in Jacksonville. So that was good to see him out there. And I agree with him. I think next week is a big week. I think he'll get much more extensive work, a lot of carries. When I say a lot, not like a full game, but, you know, a first half of carries. And it'll be good for his conditioning, good for his vision. He talked about it's a different scheme, the zone scheme, instead of kind of the gap power scheme downhill running. So overall, very positive. Obviously, it sounds like the foot feels good. It's held up. You know, he says his cutting's there, his speed's there. And I think just getting his game shape is kind of the next stage of Maurice getting back for opening day.
All right. Well, he's healthy. We know now that Blaine Gabbert's injured thumb on his throwing hand, the x-rays were negative. By the way, that was really the only significant injury of the evening. And the injury report in our post-game show is presented to you each week by Baptist Health System. Changing health care for good. All right. So Gabbert played well. Henny did not. The defense really, though, is a story as well. They really struggled tonight. And not just Jonathan Cyprian, who had a couple of penalties and didn't look comfortable in his first NFL action. The defensive tackles gave up some big yards up the middle.
Well, last week they were so good between the tackles. They were very stout. And, you know, they brought Roy Miller in to play the nose, and they got Sendarek Marks, who is probably a better pass rusher than run blocker, but he's a good – I mean, he's a very good defensive tackle to play in the three technique. And you got Paul Posluszny, and so you feel like going into the season that middle is a strength of this defense. And tonight they just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was gap control, were they overrunning things, but the Jets had success. And it was Bilal Powell, I think Jeff mentioned.
Average
9.1 yard per carry. I mean, any time of the year, that's bad.
Well, Loggy standing by with Paul Posluszny in the Jags locker room. Let's find out what he has to say. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Paul, in the first half there, your offense seemed to be moving the ball pretty good, and Blaine Gabbert's going to wrap up his play time, and he hits a thumb on the body of an opponent, probably holding your breath a little bit there for a while.
Yeah, we need him to be healthy. You know, we want him to be there and be completely healthy for us, because he was doing an outstanding job, just like you said, moving the ball downfield. And so for our defense, that's great. That's great for us to see.
Gus Bradley seems to really kind of have the eyes way out in front. You know, the score wasn't pretty. Second half, the score got kind of out of control there, but he has an amazing sense of kind of keeping his eyes on a certain point.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, nobody's happy with the result of the game. But the way Coach views it and the way he wants us to view it, as this is a learning opportunity for us. And we got to make the most of it. We got to learn from it, take advantage of what we did good, and learn from our mistakes, and make sure we're always keep moving forward.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. That's Paul Puzlesny. And our postgame show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Before we do the Bud play, any final thoughts?
Listen, I think overall, defensively, we've mentioned it, and they'll get it cleaned up. I have a lot of confidence with Gus Bradley's defense led by Bob Babich. I'm not overly concerned. I think they'll be good against the run. And so they'll clean it up, whatever the issue was on that side of the ball. Very positive about the offense. Talking to Jed Fish before the game, he was excited to get out there because he felt positive. He is looking, like Jeff said about Gus Bradley, at the big picture, and he's seen them get better throughout the preseason, throughout preseason practices. And to see this today with Blaine Gabbert being so efficient, so on target, as a Jaguar fan, you got to feel good about that. And the fact that the x-rays are negative,
even better.
That's a cherry on top, and so it's a good night.
One more thing. Penalties and turnovers were obviously an issue tonight. You mentioned getting things cleaned up. Those are two things to focus on.
Well, those will lose you games in the regular season. And when it counts, you know, those are the little things that Gus Bradley will be emphasizing, because if you lose the turnover margin, there was 3-1, so they were minus 2. They were minus 3 week 1, so they're minus 5 in two games. That is not winning football. And penalty-wise, would they end up with 11 for over 100 yards?
6 in the first half on the first team.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and those are things that Gus is going to emphasize. He's going to get after them and make sure those things are points of emphasis. And I expect they'll be addressed and they'll be fixed.
All right, time for the Bud play of the game. Jets got off to a good start. 41-yard kickoff return to start the ball game. Then Mark Sanchez drove his team 5 plays, 59 yards, touchdown. They go up 7-0. But Blaine Gabbert was money on the way back. Started with a 35-yard completion to Ace Sanders, and it ended with a toss to Allen Reisner, and it's our Bud play of the game. Jordan Todman checks into the ball game now, along with Ryan Otten. 3 tight ends. Brackett, one of those tight ends, goes in motion, lines up in the slot. Here's play action rolling out left. There's the toss to Reisner. He snags it, goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And that capped off a 3-for-3 drive for Blaine Gabbert, in which his completion and was 100%, but his quarterback rating was 158.3, perfect. Finished at 126.7. And, of course, the best news is that his thumb doesn't appear to be a significant issue. That's our Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. All right, lots of people to thank. Brent Martineau on the sidelines tonight. Of course, we go nowhere on Jaguars Radio without Scott Kushner behind us, making sure everything is plugged in and all the buttons are pushing and all of that good stuff. Scott, thank you very much. Jaguars Radio, produced so expertly every single week by the best radio producer in the business, no matter what Buscelli says, Joe Fortunato.
It might be preseason. You know, it's preseason. Joe and I are going to have a little meeting afterwards to discuss some issues, but it was a good job, Joe. It's something we can build on.
Yeah, there you go. Tony, great to have you again tonight. Enjoyed it very much. On behalf of Tony, you're Jeff Loggeman. We hand it off into another expert, J.P. Shadrick, back with Marco Coleman and Jay Gray to take you through the rest of the evening. Thanks for listening, folks. 37-13, the final score. But the real story, Blaine Gabbert had a big night. Jaguars postgame rolls along after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Welcome back into the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. It is Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman alongside. The final score from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, 37-13, the Jets over the Jags. The score is one thing. It is what it is. There were 27 second-half points by the Jets, basically second team. The Jaguars led 13-10 at halftime. Blaine Gabbert had a big night. Official stat sheet has him at 13 of 16, 165 yards, a touchdown, a rating of 130.5. He left the game with a thumb injury, sprained thumb. You heard Gus Bradley just a moment ago say x-rays were negative. Great news for Blaine Gabbert. But Marco, boy, this was in a week where Blaine really needed to step up. He certainly did that and more tonight.
Well, you like to see the progress that he's made. He looked extremely comfortable in what he was doing. I mean, more so than I've ever seen him since he's been here. It seems like what Jed Fisher has him doing fits his skill set. I mean, the quickness and the quick tempo, I think that really helps him out, the way that the type of offense that's being ran right now. And you saw him work really well and show that he fits in. right now, I got to give him the edge in this quarterback competition. Like I said, it is the preseason, so you can nearly really take it for what it is. This was a good quarter that we saw him play. Okay, that's good. But, you know, when the regular season comes, you got to put four quarters together. And that's one thing that I have as a knock on Blaine is finishing games. Last season when he was making his strides, he had a lot of good first quarters. But it was that latter part of the game when he would tail off. So that's what I'll be interested in seeing how he comes out next week if he gets the opportunity to go out, you know, play a full half and come in, start that second half.
We'll see how the thumb responds too. Yes, it is a sprain. It's not broken. But who knows how that thing responds when he starts throwing the football around
the
again.
Competition is not over. You know what I mean? You know, I was kidding, and I said he might as well walk out like he just dropped the mic, like he just tore it up. It's really not over yet. You know, you figure he still has to come out and prove himself again. I mean, to play well for one quarter is great, but now let's see how you do when you put together a whole half and then come back after another team has made some adjustments, because now they've seen Blaine. They've seen the type of offense that's going to be played. So you better rest assured. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to gain. This is a little bit more game planning coming to this next preseason game. So you'll see a different type of defense, different strategy even offensively now, because we're going to be game planning against the Philadelphia Eagles defense too. So we'll see how he handles that.
For comparison's sake, at least Chad Henne tonight, 4 of 10, 30 yards, and an interception. Matt Scott, 0 for 4, and Kafka, 1 for 3, negative 4 yards. That's the Jaguars quarterback tonight. Sanchez on the other side, by the way, 13 of 23, a touchdown, a pick. A lot of boos at halftime, but, boy, the Jets kind of settled in there in the second half and got some things done offensively. Bell had a couple of touchdowns. He was signed this week after a running back broke a leg last week for the Jets and scored twice, 11 carries for
Talk
Bell
about
tonight.
Taking advantage of your opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
No doubt about it. Other Jaguars stats tonight. Justin Blackmon's return tonight. 4 receptions, 46 yards, and showed some flashes of why he can be a superstar.
Well, that's good. I mean, he's got some fresh legs. He hasn't been doing much, you know. So we already knew that Justin Blackmon was a special football player. Now it's just a matter of getting Justin Blackmon on the field. I mean, I have no reservations as to what he's going to be able to bring to this offense. It's just a matter of keeping him in shape during that time that he's been off. What are you going to do now, Justin Blackmon, for the 4 weeks that you're waiting till you get back on the field? And will you still be in sync enough? Because you got to have football legs. I mean, right. Although he's been off, I mean, this training camp is a time that you get your legs together. So we'll see how he comes back after these 4 weeks. Looked good today. But, hey, like I said, it's all about the preparation, which he's doing a good job of. For the regular season.
Jaguars postgame, the final score tonight, 37-13, the Jets over the Jags. Maurice Jones-Drew said in the sideline interview with Brent Martineau tonight that he's a little worn out after his action tonight. Jones-Drew, 3 carries, 9 yards. He did have a 20-yard reception where he sprinted down the sideline there, but your thoughts about Maurice? Did he look like the Maurice of old to you?
Oh, yeah, he looked real good. And I like the way that they're going to – you can see how they're going to use him. It's not going to just be turn around, mojo left, mojo right. They're going to swing him out, get that mismatch, get him against a linebacker in that open space. So now, you know, this is going to be a wide-open offense. And you got guys like Maurice. You know, you didn't see Cecil. And, of course, A. Sanders, you know, Denard Robinson. When Blackmon comes out, you have guys that are playmakers, and you got a bunch of them. So those defenses, and Judd Fish is doing a good job of getting those guys in the best possible position to take advantage of that mismatch of them being in that open space. I'm looking forward to seeing this offense play this season. Yeah. Yes, Maurice did look good.
Okay, great. And I'll tell you what, it started on play one tonight for this Jaguars offense, Marco. First play from scrimmage, 35 yards right down the hash to A. Sanders. Kind of set the tone early tonight.
I mean, playmakers, man. And you figure when you – that's what Maurice Jones-Drew does to your offense. You can rest assured. Now, the Jets were playing for Mojo to get that ball on the first down because he just got in. And that when he's in the game, it's going to open it up because you got to bring down some guys. Maurice Jones-Drew demands an 8-9-man box. If you don't, that's like a blatant disrespect, and this guy going to tear you apart. I'm telling you.
Marco, are you ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Let's get to the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. Number one, the star of the game. This might be obvious. The star of the game.
The star of the game. It's kind of – people think it's obvious, and I don't even have one star. I got 5 stars.
Well, this is Lightning Fast Questions.
It's Lightning Fast. I got 5 Lightning Fast stars for you. Okay, 1, Wineri. 2, okay. Monroe. Yep. 3, Meester. 4, we got Rackley. And 5 is Bradfield because he had to come in for the rookie. So that's my 5 stars, baby.
Those offensive line.
Offensive line.
Good night for the line, huh?
Very nice. Very good night. What you got?
Number two.
Is that fast enough?
That's pretty fast. Thanks. I'm not even ready yet. The second question. Both bad, but what's worse, penalties or turnovers tonight?
You know what? The turnovers, because now you get the other team the ball. But now if you got 10 of them, 11, 12 penalties, now that's almost just as bad as you kill your team. But I would have to say the turnovers, because you're going to get the other team the ball. But too many penalties, ooh, they got to do something about that. That's what's going to kill a team. A young team, got to handle those penalties.
Okay, Marco, finally, the better return to action tonight, Mojo or Blackman?
That's a tough one, because they both look pretty good. I got to go fast, though, right? I'm going MJD all day, baby. Because he did more than just run the ball. He created the opportunity for Ace Sanders because he was in the game.
I like it. Marco Coleman with the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast answers to the game there, too.
There we go.
Marco, good stuff. We'll catch up with you in just a few minutes. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, it's the Sexton Summary. It's an unhappy final tonight. The Jets over the Jaguars 37-13. Some good things, though. Blaine Gabbert with a solid night before the thumb injury. The X-rays are negative. If you've just joined us, that's great news. Back after this with more on Jaguars postgame. This is Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Back in the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field, tonight's unhappy final from the New Jersey Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium, 37-13, the Jets over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick back with you. Glad you're along with us tonight. Let's take a look now at the Metro PCS Sexton Summary for tonight's game. The highlights from tonight. And there were a lot for the Jaguars early tonight. It did start for the Jets, though. First drive for New York. Sanchez got the start tonight. He capped off a 59-yard drive with this 23-yard touchdown strike.
Sanchez rolls out right, looks back left, turns and throws. He's got a wide-open receiver, catches made at the five, and that's a touchdown for Jeff Cumberland, the tight end.
Capped off a three-minute opening drive for the Jets, who led 7-0. The Jags, though, came right back. First play from scrimmage for Blaine Gabbert and the Jaguar offense, a 35-yard strike to Ace Sanders right down the hash marks. Good way to get it going. And then they capped off the drive. Gabbert to the second-year man out of Iowa, Reisner.
Sanchez roll bracket. One of those tight ends goes in motion, lines up in the slot. Here's play action rolling out left. There's the toss to Reisner. He snags it, goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
What a drive. I mean, efficient. The quarterback looked in control. They ran hurry up when needed. They huddled when they had to. That was about as smooth of an operation as you could expect in the second game.
Yes, sir, it was. Seven plays, 80 yards, 2 minutes, 50 seconds. Blaine Gabbert, 3-for-3 on the opening drive of the game, and the Jags tied it up at 7. The Jets came back, though, on their next drive. Billy Cundiff connected on a 30-yard field goal, the 53-yard drive on 6 plays, and a 10-7 score. A little bit later in the game, Josh Scobie would come back for a field goal, but it came off an interception. Sanchez threw a pick. They drove down the field, and boy, the Jaguars' defense held up at the very end.
Third goal from the three. Sanchez takes the waist-high snap, plants, turns, throws, and this one's intercepted. Marcus Trufant grabbed it in the end zone and took it away from the Jets.
Trufant signed out of Seattle in the offseason. He played his whole career, 10 years with the Seattle Seahawks, now with the Jags, the veteran who knows Gus Bradley's system very well, saved the day there, at least for the moment, with the interception, and ended a very long drive for the Jets. The Jaguars would then have some issues in the punt return game again a little bit later. Tobias Palmer with his second muff punt of the preseason.
It's off a beautiful high, spiraling kick and pushes. Palmer back to the 15, and he bobbled the ball for the second straight week. And the Jets are going to score a touchdown. Or will they say that the ball was down back at the 3?
They did say the ball was down back inside the 5-yard line, but that was right before halftime, under 30 seconds to go, and the Jets could not score. Sanchez had to throw the ball away on the last play of the half, so the Jaguars had a lead at halftime in this game. It was a 13-10 score going into the locker room. But then in the second half, things changed a bit. It was Khalil Bell's show from then on for the Jets starting in the third quarter.
Second and goal from outside the 5-yard line. Sanchez delayed handoff, span looking for the end zone, and he has got it. Touchdown, New York.
That made it 24-13 Jets. A little later, Bell, just 3 minutes later, in fact, scores again, this time from point-blank range of the one.
Here's second goal from the football's length away, and here's the handoff to Spann, and he's hit in the backfield but manages to keep moving forward, and this time he reaches across the goal line for a touchdown.
Bell was signed this week by the Jets after an injury to another running back last week against the Lions, and boy, he makes it pay off with a couple of touchdown runs. Folk had a field goal of 54 yards with 3 seconds left in the third quarter. That made it 27-13. Cundiff hit a 26-yard field goal later in the fourth for the Jets, and then this play kind of capped off the night for the Jets and told the tale of the second half, at least for the Jaguars.
To go back and try and get the ball out of the back of the end zone, this is going to be a touchdown for the Jets. The center sent the ball over the head of Mike Kafka, and the Jets got a cheapie.
Spitz was the center on the play, put it over his head. It rolled into the end zone, recovered by the Jets. That made it 37-13, and that would be the final score tonight as the Jets take the matchup at MetLife Stadium. The Jaguars are now 0-2 in the preseason. The Jets 1-1. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Scobie had a pair of field goals tonight, one from 23 yards in the first quarter and another from 36 yards in the second quarter tonight. But after a 13-10 lead at halftime, the New York Jets scored 27 second-half points and come away with a 37-13 win over the Jaguars. We'll come back in just a moment. Marco Coleman will rejoin us. We'll go through a little bit more analysis of this game tonight, the second preseason matchup, some positives, some negative, some things to clean up, some things that were pretty happy for this Jaguars team tonight. Blaine Gabbert, a solid night. Pretty good game for Blackman and Mojo in their returns, too. We'll look at the penalties and the turnovers as well when we come back. It's Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back in the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field. Tough one tonight on the scoreboard, at least. Second game of the preseason. They score 37-13, the Jets over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick with you. We're joined again by Marco Coleman here in the studio. The Jags are now 0-2 in the preseason. We've talked about some of the positive tonight and a very good night for Blaine Gabbert. That was point one. And can't take anything away from Blaine tonight. Really good night when he was in.
It's practice, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to. You know, like I said, it was just a quarter. I mean, it was good to see. I mean, I definitely don't want to rain on anybody's parade. Let's put it all in perspective. It was a quarter of football.
Okay, fair enough. But he came out with a thumb injury. He was hit in the hand by a defensive end. The x-rays were negative. If you've just joined us or missed the game tonight, x-rays at halftime, they were negative. That's good news for Blaine Gabbert going forward. Good returns tonight for Maurice Jones-Drew. A few carries, had one long reception tonight. Justin Blackman was a force in his first game back. He'll be able to play in the preseason, but suspended the first four games of the regular year. So some positives for tonight, but now a few negatives tonight in this game too. And it's really the same bugs that bit the Jags last week, penalties and turnovers. The Jags had 3 turnovers tonight, 2 fumbles, 1 interception. And, boy, the penalties really racked up, especially in the first half in this game. They finished with 12 penalties for exactly 100 yards tonight, Mark.
It's gotta
can't
be,
have them.
Right, and it's got to be disturbing. You're talking about the majority of those penalties in the first half, and guess who's playing a lot of that first half? Guys that you're going to be depending on in a regular season. So, if you know, I'm sure Gus Bradley is going to really emphasize cleaning that up because those things will kill the game for you. They stop drives. They keep the other team's drives alive. So in order for them to be able to compete, you got to get rid of those type of self-inflicted wounds called penalties.
Turnovers tonight with the muff punt, the Henny interception, and the snap over the head of Kafka later in the game.
That's, you know, again, you know, turning the ball over. There is definitely some things to be cleaned up. And again, like I said, putting it all in perspective, this is the preseason. So if you're going to have those type of mistakes, it's better to go ahead and have it now. Let's talk about it. Let's work on it. Figure out how we can prevent it. Let's talk about being mentally tough, because those are the things that you have to be in order to get rid of those things. And right now, that's what training camp is. It helps to build and foster the mental and physical toughness.
Marcus Trufant had an interception tonight for the Jags D when they were backed up inside the 5, and the Jets about to knock it in, but Trufant made a nice interception to stop a scoring drive in the first half. And that was really a highlight tonight for the Jags defense, I guess.
Yeah, the defensive line was really disappointing tonight. I actually thought they got pushed around, that first group.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit, you know, the offensive line for the Jets seemed to be a little bit more physical tonight. You know, no pass rush at all. Mincy had a sack, but I don't want to take anything away from the effort that Mincy did give. It was an outstanding effort. But Sanchez held the ball way too long on that play. He had to go through two people. Obviously, he didn't do the right thing. But other than that, not much of a highlight as far as the defensive line goes.
We're going to take a short timeout. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. The final score from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's 37-13, the Jets over the Jags. Back with more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Back on Jaguars postgame, the final score tonight from MetLife Stadium. 37-13, the Jets over the Jaguars. Back in Jacksonville now, J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman in Jaguars postgame. Okay, Marco, we've covered some of the high spots here. Gabbert, Mojo, Blackman, Trufant had the picks. There were a few good things that happened certainly early in this game. The Jags had a halftime lead of 13-10, but a 27 second half points. A lot of that in garbage time late. Let's talk about now some of the guys that may have helped themselves that might be a little further down the chart. Maybe hidden gems, we'll call it, like we did last week.
Yeah, I would say right now, Mr. Allen Reasoner. Yep. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. You figure, you look at how he's gotten himself to this point on a practice squad 2011, cut, brought back on a practice squad, cut, you know, waived, made the roster, active roster, cut. I mean, this guy has been bounced around up in Minnesota quite a bit, and here it is. He's here, got a couple of passes, scored a touchdown, working out with Mercedes down. The number was called, and he showed up. I mean, it's got to stand good, look really good for him and his chances of finally maybe find a home on the team.
I think they like his pass-catching ability. He just needs to do a little more work on the blocking side of things. Mm-hmm. And boy, he certainly showed it tonight on the touchdown pass. On a pass that was a little bit high, he made a nice play on it.
Yeah, because I guess you got Mercedes out and you had the other tight end stand back.
He's out.
So, I mean, here it is. He's probably the third guy on the depth chart. And here it is. He got an opportunity, made the most of it, did pretty well.
How about some other positions? We go to fullback. Tofoe is the starter at that position, mm-hmm. but a rookie like Lonnie Pryor, he had a pretty decent night when he was in there, right?
Yeah, he did good. I mean, he did a good job of lead blocking for Denard Robinson. I thought a lot of those holes that were opened up was because of his lead blocking. He did a really good job in there. But when he got an opportunity to run the ball, when he had, you know, the big dog, you know, paving the way for him, he tiptoed through the tulips, man. I mean, you know, really, you big dog, you know, I think it was a 4th-and-1. Push the pile, man. Get something done. And he didn't. I wasn't really impressed with that effort. He's got to take better advantage of his opportunities to run the ball, too.
I think in his senior year or last year at Florida State, he was down a little bit in weight because he was more of a running type of back, especially later in the year. He might have to bulk up a little bit and kind of change that role.
Hey, man. I thought he did a good job of blocking, yeah. You know, but it was when he got the ball, the thing that he probably should do well. You know, he just doesn't. He's still dancing. Still think he's a tailback, but they're looking for him to be a power back, I guess you could say. Not just fullback, power back.
Okay, a couple of the guys that may not have shown up tonight as much as you would have expected, a name we heard about a lot before the game tonight, starting at Sam linebacker, Leroy Reynolds, the undrafted rookie out of Virginia, has had a couple of good weeks of practice and got a chance to start tonight, but we didn't really hear from him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you figure, even as a rookie, his head's already spinning in his position. You know, now they take him from the mic and had him at the Sam. And then they brought him back at the mic. So for him, I think his lack of productivity, you have to take a little bit of him having to absorb a little more mentally that probably caused him to not be as productive. He couldn't take advantage of his athletic ability because he was thinking too much. I think that was the case because he was completely non-existent at all. I didn't see much. I think he may have been on maybe one tackle. And as a linebacker, you got to make more plays than that.
Finally, I know you're an Antoine Blake guy.
Yeah, but
where was he?
I think he was here. I was still here in Jacksonville because he didn't do nothing. I didn't see him down. He was usually he didn't make any waves. I saw him all the time showing up on the special team plays last week. But this week, you know, especially, you know, they had a couple of nice returns on the Jets did, and you just didn't see him. And I don't know, maybe the Jets figured it out,
double teamed him. But that's something that you get. When we talk about, you know, Montel Owens, he learned how to defeat being the targeted guy. And that's, you know, maybe that's something that Blake's going to have to overcome here over the course of the preseason. We'll see what he does next week.
We'll catch up with you in just a minute, Marco.
Yes,
thank you. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll take a short time out and come back with some scores from around the National Football League. Relatively light night in officially week three of the preseason, second full week of preseason games. The final score in New York tonight, the Jets 37 and the Jaguars 13. Back with more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The final score tonight from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Jets 37, the Jaguars 13. Back in the Hanania studio inside Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with you. We'll get back with Marco Coleman in just a moment. Some scores around the National Football League tonight. There were six games tonight, including the Jags and Jets. The earlier game today, Arizona with four field goals and a 12-7 win over Dallas in that game. Another final tonight, Cincinnati over the Tennessee Titans, 27-19 was the score. Locker, 12 of 20, 116 yards for the Titans tonight. A final in Houston, the Texans with a 24-17 win over Miami. The Dolphins tight end Keller left the game with what appeared to be a very bad knee injury. We have not received much word on the full status, but the photographs coming out. Looked very tough for him. Remember, he scored last week against Jacksonville in week one of the preseason. Green Bay got some points on the board finally in the preseason. They scored 19 in a win over St. Louis, 19-7, the final score there. And they're at the two-minute warning in the second quarter in Seattle. Boy, the Seahawks have put up 27 in the first half tonight, 27-7 over Denver. Peyton Manning for the Broncos, 11 of 16 with 163 yards passing in the first half. For the Broncos. Again, the final score from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. It's 37-13, the Jets over the Jags. We're back in just a moment. Marco and I will wrap it up on Jaguars postgame. 37-13, the final. The Jags are 0-2 in the preseason, but some positive things. We'll wrap all those up when we come back on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score in New York tonight, the Jets over the Jags, 37-13. The Jaguars 0-2 in the preseason. Jets are 1-1. There were some positive things as we join Marco Coleman again. Blaine Gabbert, of course, the bright spot tonight. 13 of 16, 165 yards, a touchdown, the official rating 130.5. He left the game with a thumb injury. X-rays are negative. Good news. We'll see how he responds Monday and Tuesday of this week. But that's going to be the brightest spot tonight, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, but I think it's all being cloudy. You got to get offensive line some love. These dudes did a really good job, man. I mean, they were opening up holes. Blaine never got touched. I mean, you got to show some love to those big guys down there, man, because the defensive line didn't do anything just on the, you know, flipping that coin there. Offensive line, great. Defensive line, not so great.
Philadelphia Eagles come in here on Saturday night here to Everbank Field. They got a quarterback competition, too, all of a sudden up there.
But I think even on that side, you have a quarterback that's kind of taking a little bit of lead. I think Vic has been more consistent and started to play a little bit better than the guy that he's in competition with. Same as with Gabbert. He took advantage of his last preseason game also. So it's going to be interesting, man. Especially, I believe both of those two guys will play the majority of this half, because for the teams, this is the last really tune-up that they're going to have, so got to go ahead and decide who's going to be a guy, I think, for this preseason game.
Finally, Marco, the biggest thing to fix this week for this Jaguars team?
Penalties, turnovers. I mean, that's going to be the big thing. And pass rush. And it's going to be tough because you're going to have a quarterback that's not going to be standing still.
Wait a minute, that's three things.
Okay, you can put the two put the two things together, the penalties and the miscues. There we go. Miscues and pass rush.
There you go. You trimmed it down to two. Good job. Marco, great job as always. Thank you.
My man. See you later.
Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated and by GEICO. GEICO has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much GEICO's military discounts could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today. That's it for Jaguars postgame. 37-13, the final score. The Jets over the Jags from MetLife Stadium. Blaine Gabbert had a big night, 13 of 16 officially, 165 yards, a touchdown, the thumb not broken. That's good news. We'll see how he feels Monday and Tuesday. The Eagles are here Saturday night at 7:30. Jaguars pregame coverage on the network begins at 6:30. Until then, for everyone involved here, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight from the Hanania studio. Again, the final, Jets 37, Jaguars 13. Good night.